I'd like to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Mark's talking about elders from 1 Timothy 5. And it's a great passage. And I would like to read these six verses. Speaking of elders and the ministry that they have to the church, especially to equip the church. Look at verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I was listening to the Shepherds Conference from this last year out in California, especially a Q&A from John MacArthur and Legan Duncan, Al Mohr, and Mark Dever. And they talked about, as elders, their love for their church. And it made me very thankful for our elders. And on a personal note, I'd just like to comment on Alan and Scott and Mark for a second. Alan has a ministry he does because he loves people. And you know that if you're one of the 800 that go over there on a Sunday night and experience the ministry that he and Renee have on those family groups. I know personally, we have experienced his love as a family in a very tangible way. He's been over on Friday mornings now for more than a decade. I figured it up the other day. 1,000 hours, I think, at least. That's a half a year of a full-time job he has invested in helping me get out of bed and then straightening out my nonsense. And he has just been such a huge, huge impact on my life. Anyone that knows anything from the Madison County School District knows they love students. He loves this church. Scott is contagious. His love for us is very obvious. Anytime he teaches the word, I love talking to him. I love talking to him. I love talking to him about anything, just because he radiates with Christ. He has a deep love for the gospel, for the Lord Jesus. If you want to just be thrilled by his love, ask him about book study on Monday nights, or ask any of the dozen guys that go to that book study, and they will talk about the impact, the discipleship that Scott has done in our church. He desires our church to be sanctified. That's what these men at the pastors' conference were talking about. Their love to see the church sanctified. And Mark, besides my family, my mom and dad, my two brothers, currently Amy, Ben, and Maggie, besides my family, Mark has influenced me more than any individual person. I think that's very safe to say. We have had countless hours of enjoying the word together, talking about the Lord together. Wouldn't trade that for anything. Al Mohr said about Duncan and about Dever, he said, I can't really tell where my thinking begins and their thinking ends. It's all one. And I feel like that with Mark. I feel like I want to understand the scriptures like he does. I want to explain the scriptures like he does. I want to apply the scriptures like he does. I want his thinking to become my thinking. I'm very grateful for these guys. Probably 7 years ago, I remember asking somebody about planting a church, and they said, it's a great in theory, but you just won't be able to find godly elders. About 4 years ago, I asked a different guy. He said, that sounds like a great idea, But the problem you're going to have is you're going to have a hard time finding faithful elders. And I'm so grateful. It makes me extra grateful to think about ours. And look at what the job is for the elders. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, and that might be one office there, a pastor, teacher, to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. The elders aren't to do all the ministry. They're to equip all of us to do ministry. And then it works in a fantastic way when that's the case. And we certainly, as elders, are way more concerned with the full seats here today than with the empty ones. A little bit concerned with the empty ones, maybe, but it's mainly the people that are here. It's the members at North Avenue that we want to see grow, to see sanctified. And in this passage, you see that that's the emphasis. It's not necessarily more people, but the sanctification, deepening the spiritual well-being of the flock. Spurgeon's response to a young pastor, I think, is great. When he was complaining about the size of his church, Spurgeon says, maybe it's as large as you would like to give account for on the day of judgment. I think that's probably pretty convicting and pretty true. Five ways and maybe results of equipping the saints. Verse 13 has three of them. Until we all attain to the unity of faith. Very first of all, we want a common believed truth equipped for unity. That's when the church functions as it ought, when we have great unity about what we believe and why we believe it. Secondly, that we would have the knowledge in verse 13 of the Son of God, a knowledge of the Son of God. That happens through God's word. That happens through prayer. That happens through the testing of our faith, doesn't it? It happens through trials and through sufferings. I love when Paul says in Philippians that he counts all things loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. He says everything else is rubbish. If we had a big whiteboard up here and we could put our kind of our bucket list of things that we love in this world on this side, and it would be a long old list, and we put Christ on this side, all of this is rubbish, literally dung in comparison to knowing Christ. That's our desire. That's what we want. That's what we want for our church. That's what we want, each of us, is a knowledge of the Son of God. Number three, that there would be spiritual maturity. Look in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so this is a glorious lifelong process that we're in. Once God has gripped our hearts, we are in this process called sanctification, where he's setting us apart. He's making us more like our Savior until the day that we go home. So we have been freed again from the penalty of sin when we're justified. Now we're being freed from the power of sin. That's that glorious lifelong process. And then someday soon, and we can't wait till we are freed from the presence of sin when we're with the Lord Jesus. And so we are growing in maturity. That's what we desire for our church. In verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. We want a church with sound doctrine. We want to equip the church for sound doctrine. That's the theme of 1 and 2 Timothy and of Titus, of all the pastoral epistles, that there would be sound doctrine. Sound doctrine produces godly lives, produces sound living, and that's what we have for number 5, and that's in verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth in love could be translated truthing it. I like that. We are truthing it, and we are walking in the truth. Both could be seen in this verse, that we have authentic, loving testimony as a church of North Avenue. And so Scott reminded us last week, and I was so grateful as we got to think about two great things that we are great sinners, but we serve even a greater Savior. Those are the two things that we can think about in this, because in verse 16, it is only through Christ. Look at the end of 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, that it builds itself up in love. So as we go before our Lord and confess our sins, think about these five things. Are we growing in unity of faith, in knowledge of the Son of God, in a spiritual maturity? Are we being equipped for sound doctrine? Are we authentic and are having a loving testimony as a church? Let's invest in the gospel. Again, Scott reminded us last week of our service in this to the Savior is not in vain. We are to spend our life, invest our life for the sake of the gospel. Let me give you a minute and I'll close this. Gracious Father, we are grateful today for your deep love for us. Now, while we were yet sinners, that Christ would die for us, and that Christ has given us these five things to grow in, to become, have a deep unity, to have a deeper knowledge of your Son, to grow in spiritual maturity, to be equipped for sound doctrine. And then, Father, to live an authentic, loving life that radiates Christ, that makes the teaching of our Savior attractive. And Lord, I think each of us today would confess that that hasn't always been us. It hasn't been us this week in some ways. And so, Lord, we would ask corporately as a church that you would make us more like your Son and our Savior, that we would be imitators of you in every way. And Lord, we thank you for the elders that you have brought together. We thank you, as Mark and Scott and Alan have taught us through their giftedness, so many things for the sake of the gospel. Today I pray that you would use Mark once again as we learn about elders. And I pray that you would make us faithful to grow. And Father, we are just so grateful today that where we have missed the mark, where we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, that there is no condemnation because you have given us your Son and our Savior. And we are grateful too, Father, that you have washed these sins as far as the east is from the west. We ask, Lord, that you would use your word in a great way today for your glory, in Jesus' name.